This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are quickly approaching 1 year since Russia instigated a war against its neighbor, Ukraine, and since the first attack occurred on February 24th, 2022, the world immediately sprang into action to help those who have been devastated by these attacks, doing everything like collecting supplies and donating them. And while there are efforts all around the country, one person decided to take a step further and donate ambulances directly to the front lines of the conflict. Joining us now to talk about this is Chris Manson, who is OSF Healthcare Vice President of Government Relations. OSF is a Peoria-based hospital and health system. Chris, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you're welcome to join our conversation as ever. You can email us, talk@21stshow.org, or call us in real time, 800-222-9455 is the number during the show, 800-222-9455. So let's talk about where you were when you first started hearing about what was happening in Ukraine and what inspired you to begin trying to take action.
I mean, back in, you know, late February, early March, I'd watch the news like anybody else, and my 7-year-old daughter would watch it with me. And we'd, you know, we'd watch and see what was happening, and I'd try and do what I could to, turn the channel so she didn't see some of the more disturbing scenes. But she understood what was going on, and it was at some point in late February, early March, she said, you could tell it was bothering her. And at one point, she started asking that we, pray for the people of Ukraine while we were sitting down to dinner. And then after that, shortly after that, she said, "Hey, Dad, you know, is there something that we could, do to help them?" And that's what got me thinking about, well, what could we do to help? I guess we could just send a check somewhere, but, there's something else that we could do. And, kind of pulling on my experience working in healthcare, I also used to be in the military, and then I was also, in the past, I've been a volunteer firefighter. Just kind of kicking those different things around, eventually landed on the idea of, well, maybe they need, and also I think seeing on TV that, ambulances that have been targeted by Russian forces, kind of landed on the idea of, well, maybe they need some medical supplies. Probably get that from OSF. And, how can we get them there? Well, maybe if we put them in an ambulance, then that'd help to get them overseas, and they could have the supplies and the ambulance. So kind of landed on that idea around March 7th. Called the Ukrainian consulate in Chicago and said, "Hey, my name's Chris. This is the idea I've got. I know it sounds crazy, but any chance you guys could use an ambulance full of medical supplies?"
I think I want to ask you to pause there and maybe say a little bit more about how you go from like maybe a few boxes of bandages to an entire ambulance. How do you make that leap?
Well, I'll tell you, the reality of it was at one point I was talking to some people about, well, maybe we could go over there and provide some sort of, medical care. Maybe I could find a few friends that, were paramedics or, some doctors or nurses. And it was like, well, look, we need some vehicle maybe if we went over there. So we were thinking the ambulance could kind of serve that purpose of being our vehicle while we were over there, and at the same time, be a means by which we could transport supplies. And so that was kind of the initial idea. That part never really gelled, so I just kind of ran with the ambulance and the supplies, and like I said, reached out to the consulate and called at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and expected maybe I'll hear back in a few days or something. And it was just, "Hey, do you need this stuff?" And they called me back the same night at 10 o'clock at night or something, and said, "Yeah, we need the ambulance. Yeah, we need the supplies. How soon can you get them to Poland so we can get them into Ukraine?" And it was at that point that I realized, oops, I think I might have committed to getting an ambulance and supplies.
Oops. Yeah. All right. So let's we have a little bit of tape, and I understand this is an ambulance being put into a plane as cargo. Just to put it into perspective for our listeners, let's take a listen to that. Definitely sound of industrial machinery there. What are we hearing? What does it actually take to move it's a 5-ton Type 2 ambulance from Peoria to a war zone in Eastern Europe?
Yeah, so, the crazy thing was getting the ambulance was the easy part. I literally made one phone call to AMT of Central Illinois, and I asked them, like, hey, you know, this is crazy. Would you be willing to consider this, or do you know someone that might have an ambulance, and this is what I want to do? And on that first phone call, the answer was, or the response was, what do you need, gas or diesel? So literally within a phone call, I had the ambulance, and then OSF had agreed on the supplies. So I thought maybe getting the ambulance over there might be easy. I was like, well, maybe we'll try and piggyback it on an aircraft, a military aircraft that's bringing supplies over to Poland for the Ukrainians. That turned out to be completely wrong. Most difficult thing in the world. You have bureaucracy in government. You have a lot of bureaucracy in the military. It's just a very tough nut to crack. Luckily, I was able to partner up with another organization, the Ukrainian Medical Association of North America and UAResistance.org, both out of Chicago and the consulate. And between those organizations, they had a donor that had provided an aircraft or funding for a 747-800 aircraft out of Chicago. Actually, they paid for three flights. And what I was able to do, they were putting their medical supplies on those aircraft, and they knew I had an ambulance, so they said, hey, we can give you space for the first, you know, for that first one. And so what you were just hearing was that aircraft, you were hearing that ambulance being loaded through the side door, an E-350 Ford ambulance being loaded through the side of that aircraft and pivoting and being put inside. And I'll be honest, that was March 29th that happened. I was excited. I thought I was done. I said, hey, mission accomplished. I set out to do this, and it's done. Little did I know that I would get a call like the next day asking, you know, from the Ukrainian government and a few other entities saying, hey, that ambulance was pretty nice. Can you get us more? And so that's kind of what started going from one ambulance to kind of creating this U.S. ambulances for Ukraine effort. And, you know, we put four more ambulances on 747s, and we've sent another 11, no, I'm sorry, 13 via ship that are in Ukraine now. And I have another ship right now in the Atlantic Ocean with 10 ambulances and a fire engine. So we're
up to,
by the end of next week, we'll be up to 28 ambulances in Ukraine and one fire engine. And I'm actually calling you from a warehouse right now in Chicago looking at another fire engine that was just donated. We've got probably another 12 ambulances and another four fire engines that we'll try and send in February. So we'll be over 40 some odd ambulances and at least five fire engines into Ukraine by maybe early March.
So I understand you've been to Ukraine, but I want to put a pin in that, and because we need to take a break in about a minute here. But do you have an update, like with that first ambulance, that first one that went into the plane in the March? You kind of do that thing with your hands all done here. What is the status of that? Have you heard about the fate of that vehicle?
Yeah, the craziest thing. All I had known early on is that it had been in Kharkiv. I actually saw it. I've been over to Ukraine a few times. I saw it once in July. I knew it was in Kharkiv sometime after that. And then when I got back from my third trip to Ukraine, I got an email from the paramedic that was working on it, and they sent me pictures. It's all camouflaged. It's working with the International Legion, and it is on the front line in the eastern part of Ukraine supporting combat troops and transporting wounded people on the eastern part of, on the eastern front in Ukraine.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a break. We're speaking with Chris Manson, who's Vice President of Government Relations at OSF Healthcare and has been part of leading an effort to get ambulances from Illinois over to Ukraine. And as we just heard, a fire engine as well. Now maybe a second fire engine. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. When we come back, we're going to hear about Chris's own experiences visiting Ukraine during the war waged by Russia against that country. That's coming up after a short break. It's the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Chris Manson, Vice President of Government Relations at OSF Healthcare, and he has been leading organization and an effort, I should say, to get ambulances from central Illinois over to Ukraine, where Russia has been waging war for almost a year now. It was late February of 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. And Chris says he was watching the news coverage like a lot of other people. And it was a question from his kid who said, what can we do to help? And all of a sudden, or maybe not all of a sudden, but pretty soon, an ambulance was on its way to Ukraine. And if you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. Chris, I understand. So you yourself have been to Ukraine. How do you go from leading this effort to actually getting your own feet on the ground over there?
Well, after the second ambulance went in April, I was like, well, I'm asking people for these ambulances. I want to make sure they're going to the right place. And, you know, honestly, there's probably just a level of curiosity. I just wanted to go and see firsthand what was going on. But I wanted to be able to have some legitimacy when I was asking someone for a donation to be able to say, hey, yeah, I've seen where it's going. I know that, you know, this is where this stuff's ending up, and I can tell you the need is great and it's real. And also, I was hoping to, you know, kind of leverage going, you know, a little bit. You tell people that were thinking about donating, hey, I'm going over there, and I'd like to be able to tell people when I'm over there that, you know, more ambulances are coming. The good news is I left actually on Easter Eve, went over there, spent a week over there, got a chance to meet with some people, went to Lviv, went to, Rivne, just about 5 hours in from the Polish border, a couple hours from Belarus, and met some really great people. And sure enough, while I was there, I got to see the OSF's equivalent hospitals, and I got to see how they do things there, and I got to see their fire stations, and got to talk to people. But I also, when I was there, I got some messages back from some potential donors saying, yep, we want to donate 3 ambulances. So literally before I left, I was able to tell the people in Ukraine that I was meeting with, hey, good news, I think I've got 2 or 3 more ambulances coming. And that was, like I said, that was middle of April that happened. I came back, and sure enough, we got some more ambulances. We got those on an aircraft, those 3. And then after that, we started to send ambulances via ship, because the ambulances we were getting were a little bit bigger. And then also the ease of access to aircraft wasn't as easy. So in July or end of June, we had 2 more that had been sent, one from El Paso, Illinois, and one from Ohio. And we put them on a ship, and it was the first time we were shipping them. And I asked my wife, I'm like, hey, you know, I think I need to go again just to make sure this whole shipping thing works. And she said, all right, be careful. My daughter said, go ahead, but just make sure you bring back some of those Ukrainian chocolates that you brought back last time. So I had my family's blessing. And, with that, we actually got to drive 2 ambulances from Poland into Ukraine, and we actually turned them over to the Ministry of Health in Kyiv. And I got to meet with some people from the Ministry of Health and had some good conversations about what their needs were and stuff. And it was just, it was amazing. One of the ambulances had a bunch of wishes, like well wishes and greetings and stuff written on it by the donor and employees of that health system that donated that ambulance. And I got to tell you, people were moved to tears when they read those greetings. And the other thing that was kind of cool about that trip is we ended up delivering those ambulances on July 4th. And I'll be honest with you, when my biggest takeaway from what I've experienced in Ukraine is that the people in Ukraine are fighting for their independence. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. I mean, I've had people that you would see them and they look scary. These are mean, you know, so I would say some of you are very mean looking people. They smile and they say, I just want to be free. And, you know, you can't help but want to do something to help someone that just wants to be free.
So you've been to Ukraine. Most of us have not. We've just been following it on the news. What misconceptions do you hear from your fellow Illinoisans, fellow Americans, about what's happening over there that maybe you would set straight based on your own observations?
You know, I think probably the biggest thing is, a couple things probably. One, you know, why should the United States help? What's in it for the U.S. or whatever? You know, this is unlike, like I said, I've been in the military. I've never been in combat. I've never been overseas. But, you know, we've been involved in a lot of conflicts in my adult life. And I can just tell you that what I've seen with the people of Ukraine is they are in it and they will be in it until the bitter end. And for them, victory is the only option. Because like I said, as far as they're concerned, this is their existential threat. I mean, it's either live under the former Soviet Union or be free. And so I would just hope that anyone that's got some doubts or some like, why are we involved? This is what America's all about. And I see that every time I go back there, I just see that in everyone that I interact with. And then I guess the second thing would be, well, you know, Russia's so big, they're going to win no matter what. They can wear them. They can wear the Ukrainians down. They're going to win eventually, whatever. I got to tell you, the people I've talked to, men, women, children, they will tell you the only, you know, yes, Russia might take over territory, but it'll be rubble and there will be nobody left because Ukrainians will fight until the end for the freedom of their country. And you just can't help but be inspired by that level of, you know, their own patriotism and their own love for country.
Mm. So you're there last, you said last spring, again last summer, and I know different parts of the country have different, you know, very different experiences of the war in Ukraine, but what were you seeing where you were? Was there evidence? Did it feel like a country at war?
Yeah, in October, we delivered 7 more ambulances. I went back for a third time, and I led another convoy back in October, and while we were in Poland, we were getting the vehicles ready. Kind of like, you know, we get like a day ahead, we get them all prepped up and everything, you know, they've come in on ship and everything. So we're just going through everything, making sure everything's all set. And I started getting phone calls from people within Ukraine saying, hey, you can't come over or you can't come into Ukraine this way. You can't do what we're going to do. And I was like, well, what's going on? The whole country is being bombed. We're being, you know, there's missile strikes.
I remember that day. Yeah.
There's the suicide drones. You guys are going to be too much of a target. We're going to have to adjust. And so we did. We still went that day. We went that night. But every place I went, we went to Lviv, Rivne, Kiev, Odessa. So we went all the way down to Odessa and then back to Lviv and out. And that was the second time I experienced one air raid. This time, everywhere that we went was either hit the day before or the day after by either missile or drone strikes. And while I was in different places, air raid sirens were going off quite a bit. So you could tell the war had shifted. The first two times, they would talk about, well, you're definitely far enough away from the front, or you know the actual combat is, you know, so many hundred kilometers away or whatever. The third time it was every place is a target, every place is under attack, and you don't know what's going to happen. And that was a definite shift in the kind of the mood and what was, you know, what was going on from the previous two trips.
I'm going to take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Chris Manson, who has been leading an effort to get ambulances from Illinois, from other places in America now, over to Ukraine, where they can be used in the effort to resist the invasion of Russia, which happened last year and has obviously been an ongoing story since that time. He's also vice president at OSF Healthcare. And if you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So I asked you about the fate of that first ambulance. You said you saw it all sort of decked out in camouflage paint. What about the other vehicles? Have you gotten reports of what they've been doing?
Yeah, in fact, if people like on my, I'm not a social media person, but I created a Twitter feed. It's Ambulances U or U.S. Ambulances for Ukraine. But if you go to @AmbulancesU, you can actually see pictures of the different ambulances in Ukraine in service. And so some have gone to military units. So, you know, there's going to be people with AK-47s and camouflage. And, you know, there's pictures of the ambulances either with wounded or others. And then there's others that have gone to hospitals or fire departments, and they're with firefighters or with the ambulance crews or at the different hospitals. So I will tell you, of the 18 ambulances that we've sent over, I've got accountability of all 18. and I've got pictures of 17 of the 18. I will tell you, on this next convoy, for example, when we send over stuff now, in the very beginning, it was kind of chaos. I hadn't been over there yet. So I would send ambulances and talking to the consulate and a few other people, and I would just kind of hope they would get to where they were going to go, or like I would rely on the Ukrainian government to make sure they went wherever they were needed, and that worked out. But as I had gone over and as we had sent more ambulances, I now get letters from military commanders. I get letters from hospitals, from fire departments. In fact, I got a letter this morning from a fire department looking for a ladder truck, because they don't have a ladder truck, but they've got higher-rise buildings that are suffering missile strikes, and they have, you know, they're basically using ladders to try and effect rescues to get people out. So I get that kind of stuff now. So this next shipment that I said is on the Atlantic Ocean right now, of the 10 ambulances and one fire engine, I know where every one of them is going. In fact, the past few shipments, I've known where everyone goes before they leave. But I can tell you, of the 10 ambulances, 7 are going to do military units. I know exactly which military unit. 2 are going to hospitals. 1 ambulance is going to a fire department, and I'm going to take a fire engine to a fire department closer to close enough to the front that they've suffered a lot of damage and they're in need of a fire engine. So yeah, I know exactly where they're going, and I talk to the units and I talk to the people, and I get feedback, and I got to tell you, you know, when someone tells you, hey, your ambulances are moving a lot of wounded, it's very gratifying. In fact, the last shipment that we sent, two of those ambulances right now are in Bakhmut, and they're in the thick of the fight, and they're transporting wounded civilian soldiers every day.
I was saying, I'm looking at your Twitter feed now again, which is ambulances U, which is the letter U. And there is a squad 352 from Muscatine, Iowa, is on this muddy road, and there are people dressed in camouflage loading a stretcher into it. So, yeah, very much so. Are you, what's next for you in the effort? We've got about 2 minutes left in our conversation. Are you planning to go back? You said you're
going
to drive.
Yeah, I'm going back next week, but roughly next week to deliver this next convoy. Like I said, we've got 4 fire engines and about 12 ambulances for a late February shipment. But if anyone knows of any ambulances, if you've got a in-shape used ambulance, or if you're a fire department and you've got a fire engine, I'm also looking for tankers, or water tenders. That's another big need. So if you've got a fire engine, a water tender, or a fire truck, a ladder truck, reach out to me. You can reach out to me. That ambulance is you. You can also probably reach out to the station. They can get a hold of me. But I'm still looking for fire engines, and I'm looking for ambulances. Like I said, we're at about 42. I think we'll be at 42 ambulances and 5 fire engines by over there, probably by the beginning of March. My goal would be to be at 50 ambulances and maybe, you know, 10 fire engines if we can swing it. But we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, yeah, if people want to get in touch, talk@21stshow.org, and we'll be happy to relay the message. Chris Manson with OSF Healthcare, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us and share your story about ambulances in Ukraine. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
And that's all the time we have for the 21st show today. Coming up tomorrow, we're planning to bring you a conversation with Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood of the Peoria area, plus a conversation about the courts and the Freedom of Information Act in Illinois, namely how the courts are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act in Illinois. You can always keep in touch with us. We love hearing what you thought about the show or our future conversations, or suggest guests. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. You can also find that, plus our voicemail number, every other way to contact us. It's all at our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can listen to our past shows or share them with a friend. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Just search for The 21st. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.